What up, Whiskey Ginger fans? Welcome back to the show. I got a good one for you today. Like my man Steve Harvey says, in with me in the studio is Kevin Hart. No, it's Mark Norman. Hey, I love this dude. Incredibly funny, incredibly talented, super funny dude. And he's on tour all over the place. Go check him out at marknormancomedy.com. So am I, by the way. I'm going to be going to Dallas, Atlantic City, Houston, Boston, Nashville. We're adding dates as we go. Go to AndrewSantino.com to look that up. I'm going to be all over the map, AndrewSantino.com, to get them tickets. Also, on the websites where you can get the merch, or look in the merch bar down below if you're on YouTube. And if you want the extra content, the solo Cheeto Chats, the solo pods are going to be on the Patreon at patreon.com/WhiskeyGingerPodcast. Very fun. And the top tier, we Zoom once a month. I'm having a blast with it. It's an easy way to connect with the fans. But come see me on the road. Check me out. Go to AndrewSantino.com for all those dates. Enough rambling. Let's go to the episode.
In here, we pour whiskey.
You're that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers are hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Whiskey Ginger. My guest today is one of my favorite people on earth. I say that for all my guests, but I mean it. Once again today, it's Mark Norman, ladies and gentlemen. Mark Norman.
Hey, good to be here in the bungalow.
Good to be here in the bungalow, baby.
Very unassuming.
I'm glad you
came
here. I know. Well, we don't want people to know where we shoot this out of, obviously.
I like it.
And you can tell people what city we're in. We are in La Crescenta.
Oh.
La Crescenta, California, just north of Sunland. So come see us. The address, of course, is, give them the address.
3829 Beverly Boulevard.
3829 Beverly Boulevard in La Crescenta, California. Come out and see me. Mark, let's start off the right way.
All right.
I love you. I know you. You're one of the one of my like favorite comedians to watch. I think brilliant. I think you got a great body. You got great hair.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it's filling in the Propecia.
It's filling in, baby. Is it working?
Oh, yeah. I think so.
Me
the
too.
The dick isn't.
No. Well,
the
hair
is.
That's never going to come back.
Nah.
What happened to the fanga?
Who?
What happened to your fanga?
I got a cat. Scratch me. I really got a Maine Coon.
Why did you get a cat?
Just so I can say coon.
Yeah.
No, I got a Maine Coon. Girlfriend wanted it, and I was against it, and then we got it. Now I'm snuggling with it. I'm brushing it. We have a great time.
You like it, though?
I love it. It's adorable, because a cat's like a pill head. It just sits there all day and sleeps, and then when you hug it, it's awake, and...
Have you ever had an animal before growing up? Did you have animals?
I had cats, but they were like alley cats that would come and go and give me diseases and, you know, kill mice and then leave again.
Outdoor cats.
Yeah, those are the best.
Yeah. My wife had outdoor cats growing up. They had barn cats, which I thought if I was going to have cats, I want those that go kill stuff.
Yeah.
And then you can go say hi to them because they're a little bit more used to chaos. They're not scared of everybody all the time.
And the dog needs a lot. It jumps on you when you walk in. A lot of people like that. I don't want that.
No, you don't like that?
No, I want the chill. I want just like, let's just watch TV. You're up on my ass, licking me. It's too much. I don't want that.
It's okay.
Like a needy gal.
All right, I respect that. I like my dog. I think it's, getting home and especially after the road or being gone for a while, when you come home and the dog is like excited to see you, it is really nice to feel the love of like, something here cares.
But you know when you go to that guy's house, his dog's 10 feet tall and he's jumping on you and you're
Jesus.
He's like, oh, he's fine. He's fine. You're like, he's fine. He's clawing me. He's got paws on me.
But then this happened.
And then this, yeah. Well, I went in too hard.
Too aggressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, cats check you down.
They do. But it's cute because they give you the soft bite where you're like, you could bite harder, but you don't because you're nice. And then it just got too into it.
I don't, I'm not a fan. My mom's allergic to cats. Growing up, like people I knew had cats. And every time I'd go to their house, I never enjoyed them. Something about them. I couldn't get over that hump of like.
Yeah, cats are like blacks. You either love them or hate them.
And what if you do both? What if you love and hate them?
That's tough.
What color is your cat?
Black.
Is that on purpose?
Oh, yeah. Diversity.
You gotta
have it in the house.
Did you win an Oscar last night? I don't know. Did you win? I didn't watch.
Is it real? I think it's Zoomed now. Oscars, it's like Halloween. I stopped caring about it.
So I don't ever watch the award shows, but I do think they're very funny in the sense of what's turning to happen in society.
Fascinating.
I think it's great. I saw on Twitter, you know, they throw up like little speech clips on Twitter. On Twitter, my favorite was someone was talking very adamantly about like how many black people get killed by the cops every day. And it was like very like emotional and very deep. And then his partner steps up to the mic and he's like, "We want to thank Netflix and Ted Sarandos." I know, dude, the juxtaposition is so funny to be on these social platforms and then be like, "Also, we want to thank all the producers everyone that made millions of dollars on it." It's just,
it's kooky. They can't even see it. Like, how can you not see it? You're on stage holding a gold trophy in a $10 million gown.
Right.
And you're like, it's hard out there. Things are tough. You're like, come on. There's a guy working in a mill.
I understand why people want to use their platform to have a message, but it gets diluted when the event itself is so disingenuous, right? Like, the event is disingenuous. If it was an event for a charity, I'd be like, this is a great time to make a big speech.
Yeah.
But this thing isn't for charity. This is for to tap each other on the back and say, you won. You're better than everybody else that does the thing.
And 6 years ago, we were all blowing Harvey. Like, look at that guy. He's the king. We love him. And he was like, thank you. Thank you.
That's why Gervais was great at the Globes. When he did that stuff, his monologues were always so fun because all he did was just like shit on all of them. And you watch their faces like they're annoyed that he's doing it at their party.
Yeah.
But that's how you know how evil it is, because they're like, we thought you were going to be nice. It's like when you do a corporate gig. You know when you do a corporate gig and they're oh, shit on us.
Oh, every time
I bomb. Then you do, and then they're upset and they're angry at
you. Yeah. I had that exact experience, and the guy pulled the mic from me. I was walking people. I broke up a couple marriages. And that guy was like, be vicious. And he gave me dirt. He gave me a rap sheet. And I said everything he told me to. And they still hated me. And he fired me.
I did it for a guy for a venture capital firm in San Francisco. And I didn't want to do it. And he goes, what if I pay you to just teach us how to shit on each other internally at the company?
That's interesting.
And I was like, okay, I could be down for that.
Sounds like a bad true TV show.
It was. Yeah.
Come on in and teach you how to roast.
Jamie Kennedy presents. Yeah. I go up there to San Francisco. It was a nice little baby vacation, truly. And I sat in their office and I just was teaching. Really what I did was like, I read the jokes that they had prepared for each other for this dinner. And I was telling them, I was like, don't do that. Don't do that. Do that. And then I helped them out with some of them. But then by the end, he was like, you know, they were so toasted. He was like, get up there and light them up, dude. Say whatever you want. So I did. I mean, I shit on this guy for a good 15 minutes because it was really, really easy. Mm-hmm. And at the end, he was a little upset about it. Come to term, he went to jail. This guy was got caught for like embezzling and Ponzi and all that shit. So I won. So I ended up winning.
Yeah.
So, good. Yeah, I'm good. I lit him up. He deserved all of it. No, but that's the thing is rich guys think they want to be on your level.
Let's have
fun. And you're like, you don't want to have fun.
No.
You don't want to have
sensitive.
Fun. Yeah, you're
that's
so
why
sensitive.
You need to be rich.
Right.
But I picture him in prison doing like pull-ups with tattoos of like whiskey ginger. You know, he's thinking about it.
When I get out, that fucking ginger is dead.
Yeah,
dude.
Hey, a little Cape Fear action.
So last time we chatted up, we used Luis J. Gomez's jail cell to record this.
Oh yeah, the phone booth.
Yeah, the phone booth, which is so funny. Those the angles on those things—they're 50 feet above your head.
It was like CCTV footage, you know. Right. And I even watched a little bit of it. And I was like, I'm uncomfortable. It's so tight and weird.
It was
and
way
tense.
Too tight. It was
this
way
is
too
nice.
Tight. Wide open, right?
Yeah,
you like this?
I love it here.
So now you're touring around LA doing a bunch of different podcasts, but they're all pretty shit in comparison to this one. I mean,
hell,
you've done a few.
Marin.
Bad.
Segura.
Bad.
Bobby Lee.
Bad.
Stop Asian
and,
hate.
Well, start it.
There you go.
Start it with him. You can start it. I think you're not allowed to hate Asians if you don't know them, but if you know them, like I know him, I can hate him.
Good point.
He's mine.
Yeah.
He's my little Asian.
Yeah, he's short round.
He's my little dumpling. I can say whatever I want because he's my friend.
He's your egg roll.
You can't do that to others, I understand. You can't hate the outside. Are you out here for a specific reason or no?
Well, I was in Salt Lake, which is right over a skip and a jump. Wise guys, great club.
How fun.
Then I'm going to Tacoma. So I said, LA's kind of in the middle. I'll pop in, say hi to the gang.
A smart move. Did you enjoy how Salt Lake had it parceled out? See, because they were telling me, they were like, we're going to get to full capacity, but they were still kind of not there yet.
Yeah, it was well done. You know when you do a room that's capacity or half full and it feels fine?
Yeah.
That's how it felt. They were spread, but it's fine.
Yeah, no, and I'm going to Addison and all that stuff. And Dallas now is, they're back to square one. They're fine.
Oh, yeah. I did it the week it opened and it was like fucking Mardi Gras in there.
That's incredible.
The guy said we sold more booze on Thursday than we sold in 2020.
What?
Yeah, because just people are like, let's do it up. We got Biden money.
Everybody knows you did campaign for Biden. You were a big Biden campaign trail guy. You went door to door in New York. Isn't that nuts?
I was Elizabeth Warren, actually.
You were in disguise.
Well, I love the Choctaw people. All right.
You dated Elizabeth Warren for 2 or 3 years and then moved on to AOC. Now,
that's right.
Who was a better dinner date?
I'd say AOC had a way bigger clit.
She did.
Oh, huge.
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 Huge. Huge. Hammer.
The worst thing about native New Yorkers is the saying huge. Do you say huge? What do you say? You say huge.
He's a Brooklyn guy.
Brooklyn. Yeah, huge with an H. It's not huge.
That was all Trump.
Yeah, he did that. But a lot of New Yorkers I know say huge. I've heard that in New York
before. Oh, really?
Before.
Have you heard that?
No, you don't hear it?
You're a Chicago cat.
Yeah, we don't say any of that stuff.
No, you guys just say cat.
We say duck. We love shooting people. That's our favorite thing.
Never
we're
the, the,
we're
news,
the best.
The
we're
way.
Number one at killing people. We do it. We keep killing, man. Chicago is the murder city, man. You guys can't catch up. You guys are so soft now.
Oh, it's crazy.
New York is bullshit.
It's all Dwayne Reeds and Pinkberries now.
Shitty.
But you guys, you never really see that in the news.
The killings?
Yeah.
I read the Chicago Tribune every single day, and it's in the Tribune every single day. But we know about it. But they don't publicize it to the media because it's...
Why not?
Because it's endless.
Oh.
Every day, it's like 10 kids get shot, 12 kids get shot. Damn. Every single day.
That's got to be like population control. It's like deer.
Yeah.
You got to keep tabs and keep
Wisconsin
low.
Asked us to go shoot deer up there, and then we asked them to come down and compile the murder rate.
Oh,
is New York back open all the way for the clubs?
No. We got the plexiglass. You know, New York clubs are so small already, so there's like 11 people at a full show. It's weird.
So, right, like the cellar is how many people? 75? What is it?
Nah, it's probably like 160, 180.
Is it really?
Yeah, they pack it, baby.
God, it feels so tiny whenever I see that place. I'm like, that can't be over 100 people. So what do? They have plexi between each table?
Between tables, and then the comics have glass up, like on the stage.
Wait, but like at the bottom of the stage, oh, that goes like floor to ceiling?
Yeah, it's like a booth. And, you know, it's clear, but it's still there. I mean, we can all feel it. It's weird. And it feels like you're in an exhibit for stand-up.
Right.
You know, like, hey, look at me. Remember what this art form was, you know?
Right.
And it sucks. There's a real wall.
So you don't like it at all?
No. And it's all optics, I think.
What about the outdoor shows, though? Those got picked up, right?
Picked up?
I mean, it started to pick up as time went on out there. Like, I started to see more and more pop up.
Definitely. And now, we were doing it in the snow and shit. I mean, these comics are animals out there, but now it's warm again, it's fun, so it's not so bad outside.
You think Total Optics with all that stuff, New York isn't enforcing any of that stuff and making you guys put up any of those, like, do you think they're making the club do that, or the club's doing that voluntarily?
I think they made the club do it initially, and now it's silly. I mean, there was a big comic, I'm not gonna say who, he showed up at a
say
club.
It.
Showed up at a club, huge, just think, one of the biggest comics on the planet.
Louis!
Big, not uncanceled, and then said, you gotta take that shit down, and they took it down just like that. And all the comics went, yeah.
Chappelle.
Nah, I can't say.
Wait, what would be the reason that you can't say?
I don't know if he wants it out there. He's a nice guy. I'll tell you later.
Yeah, that's fine. You can tell me off camera. All right.
But
no,
Chappelle didn't give a shit anyway. He's smoking.
Yeah, no, they don't say anything to him about any of that shit. Right?
Yeah, black privilege.
Black privilege, baby. Black privilege. You've got a little bit of that, don't you?
A little black?
Yeah.
Sure. Well, I'm part Creole.
Does that count?
I don't
that
know.
Has nothing to do with
I got
it.
No black. Come on.
No, you're all white. You're all white and you're all right with me is what I like to say.
And
you know, I know. And I'm what?
Alt-right.
And I'm alt-right.
Yeah.
I'm alt-right. I'm as far as you can get to the right. I've never been so far right. You know what I mean? I'm all the way over.
Boy, we're so political now. It's crazy. I hate how everything is politicized. Medicine is politicized.
Yeah.
Voting. Crazy.
But that's the only way for people to make sense of. I think that, what is that phrase? You know, the idle hands of the devil's play toy? So it's like this pandemic,
all
it did was make people find shit to be upset about and find shit to target. And before, they didn't really, it wasn't really a thing.
Well, you got Grubhub and you got streaming Netflix and all this, the internet's right there. So there was no struggle, really.
Right.
We say it's a pandemic and a couple people died, but most people are sitting in air conditioning on Twitter.
Hanging out, doing nothing.
So you got to build something. You got to make something happen.
Did you get one of those stimulus checks? They get sent to you?
I never got it. I make too much to be stimuli and too little to be rich.
What a great bubble to be in, though.
I kind of like this bubble because it still keeps me sane.
Right.
You know, you go to Whitney's house and you're like, oh, man, you're 2 feet away from...
It's a literal insane asylum out there.
You're about to put on a robe and have a glass of wine and fall down the stairs.
She talks to coyotes at night. She's nuts. She's absolutely bonkers.
I can see that. Yeah. I can see that. She was sewing a dream catcher when I walked in, just a giant one.
Yeah, she'll be a sane catcher. She should get a sane catcher above her bed, see if she catches any sanity floating through her house.
But great lady and nice.
We love the chaos that is Whitney. She came on here and did her fucking hair the whole time. She literally curled her hair in the middle of the podcast. That's who she is. Did you buy a place, by the way? Did you buy your own spot?
I bought a place in New York, and now I'm renting it, and then I got another place.
And I want to talk shit about you because Please. We share a little bit of a similarity in our love for vehicles. You know, I love cars. I'm a car guy. And I saw that you bought a 2002.
Yes!
You know, people to hit me up online because I had spoken pretty candidly on this show about how much I love 2002.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, I didn't know that.
My first car, well, my love for cars is pretty secret. I only really talked about cars to people that also love cars because most comics... couldn't give a fuck.
It's a bunch of nebbishy, neurotic.
Well, they all, yeah, they all have Priuses or they don't have a car at all.
Yes.
And I think Prius is the worst car that's ever been manufactured, and the batteries are going to kill people faster than the fucking emissions. So
is that right?
It's a fact. Those batteries are, you know, those batteries that are in a Prius specifically, by the way. Tesla did a better job at making a battery that could be degradable by our biosystem at some degree. Priuses are going to sit in the landfill for the next fucking 10,000 years. Just wait.
Wow.
Watch.
Yeah. See, nobody talks about that stuff.
Yeah, because they think what they're doing is better than what the end result will be. And they'll be so far dead that they're like, you're killing the earth now. It's like, you're in perpetuity, you're killing the fucking earth.
It's so true. We're distracted by all, like the straws. Remember the straws were the biggest deal on
they're
the
back,
planet.
They're back, by the
and
way.
Now they're back.
Yeah, they're back.
It was just that one photo of that fucking coke snorting turtle that we all fell in love with, and then we all got rid of them.
One turtle, by the way.
One turtle.
I used to say that on stage. Show me the shells. Where are all these dead turtles? What a lie, strewn across the shore. They made it sound like it was millions of turtles were dying.
Yeah.
It was bullshit.
That's
but they,
a great
they only cared because they wanted to make... they wanted to make you feel bad about something they could control.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like, we can control this. Because the shit you can't control, what are you going to fucking do? Like that. Like the idea of emissions, they yell at us here in America. It's like, we're the worst. We need to figure. You're like, China and India have a billion people.
Crazy.
And they spew shit in the air on a constant. So we're the worst?
They have pollution checks every day. Like they have to worry about it. Some days you just can't go outside. It's bananas over there.
Yeah,
I've been there.
But we're the worst.
Yeah.
Apparently. We're still the absolute worst. But getting back, my first car I ever had was a 1985 325E.
Mm.
A little two-door BMW coupe, my favorite.
That's adorable.
It was in pretty okay condition. It certainly wasn't new. It was an 85.
Mm.
But like it was kept up very well.
It's
and
got
I gotta
some
tell
zip.
You. Oh man, they were so quick.
Yeah.
They were so quick, man.
I like small cars. Like you got a nice piece out here, by the way.
Nice little piece outside. It's a Nissan Altima. My fans know that's what I drive. A Nissan Altima supercharged.
It's a Ford Escort.
It's a Ford Escort. Well, it's a Ford we have to say that now. We can't say Ford prostitute anymore.
Good point. Sex worker.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Positive sex.
No, by the way, I love the support for sex workers. I've been supporting them for years.
For years.
Yeah.
Lots of
quietly.
Money. Yeah. And now you can do it publicly. Isn't that nice that you can say, I support this OnlyFans?
Yes, here,
I have 17 of them, and I'm supporting my local sex vendor.
And if you're a failed female comic, you can make a lot of money. But, not the men, but...
can we get on OnlyFans, you and I?
Nobody cares. Maybe the gays will throw us a shekel.
I think you and I could do well with the gays.
Oh, I'd clean up with the homosexuals.
Because I got to tell you, my DMs, I won't hyperbolize. I probably get one dick pic a week.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, on an average. So sometimes I won't get one for 2 or 3 weeks. Then some weeks I'll get one that's like, you're so cute. And I'll get four dicks or two butts.
Right.
Four dicks and two butts is my next album coming out. I think it's September, Four Dicks, Two Butts. you do the math. But I will get them. And
where are the shells?
You like that? Show me the shells. Show me the shells.
Show me the shells.
I'm more impressed by... how aggressive some of the gay guys are in my DMs than annoyed. I'm more impressed. I'm like, wow, this guy's good. He'll keep taking different pictures at different angles and be like, oh, so nothing?
Right.
Because they know you don't respond, you know, you're not responding.
And you feel like a woman. You're like, oh, I'm violated. You start to get their
right.
fear.
Well, also, don't send people random pics.
I don't mind it.
So you're just sending them out there to the universe?
No, I don't mind getting them.
Oh.
I'm saying
in the exchange world of pics, like, have you ever sent a pic just out of nowhere? It's crazy. There always is a backstory with me. It's always like, we communicated first. It was never like, here's a dick or here's my, you know. So I never understand the approach of just throwing it out to the ether thinking, we've had no communication about it. And all of a sudden, that's going to be the thing I go, I need it.
Here's my theory. I think the dick is so hidden all the time that when a guy has the opportunity to show it, he's like, I got to do it. It's like, he's keyed up. He can't control it. Because the dick is always hidden.
It's like Bobby. That's why he's always like trying to get naked.
Yes.
It's like he has to get it out.
Got
to
get it out.
I send my wife limp dick pics. I'll never do hard.
Now that's love.
Make her work for it a little bit. You know what I mean? Make her build up to something.
Have you heard my dick pic story?
No.
Maybe 8 years ago, I hooked up with this gal and it was like this passionate weekend on the road. It was amazing. She was way out of my league. It was the highlight of my life. So we'd kind of communicate after a few weeks of me leaving, and she'd be like, send me a dick pic. Send her a dick pic, whatever, no big deal. 8 months later, we stopped talking, whatever. Somebody tweets at me, @ me, hey, is this your dick? And it was a photo of my dick. Some random guy in like Minnesota.
But a good photo, no less.
Yeah, but it's still my dick, so it's not great. But I saw my sheets, and that's what did it. I was like, those are my dinosaur sheets. And so...
that's my race car bed. I know that bed anywhere.
Yeah, I just didn't respond, and it kind of flew off into the Twitter ether. But Jesus, seeing your own dick on a public platform is terrifying.
That's a bummer.
Know it was mine.
Well, you got a nice penis, though.
It's all right.
It's fine.
It's a Civic.
It's a Civic.
Yeah, it's like it'll get you places. It's reliable, but it's not going to win a race.
No.
Yeah, unless you soup it up, man.
And it might break down. First race is fine, but second race is definitely going to break down.
Going to need some blue chew and whatnot.
In here, we pour whiskey.
Hey, I know you don't like cooking, because I don't either. It's not because you're lazy. It's just because it's time-consuming, and you just don't know what you're doing. But HelloFresh makes it easy and simple. I love this, okay? At first, I was like, I don't want these meals that are coming to my front door that I have to make. I'd rather just order food. But I'm telling you, they're delicious. There's healthy options. And it's so easy. Even a moron like me, which is French for idiot, can do this. It's so simple. They are wonderful and delicious. They deliver right to your door. They're pre-measured ingredients, mouth-watering seasonal recipes. And skip those trips to the grocery store. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. They are number one, and it is the best. I had the pork loin with the cabbage slaw. I've had that one. And we also did a beautiful chicken dish, a little chicken. Trying to keep it a little bit healthy. You can do it a million different ways. But their fresh ingredients are sourced directly from growers and delivered from the farm to your front door in under a week. Contact-free, of course, which I think is huge. I really do like this. The meals that are ready in 20 minutes or less, lightning prep recipes, quick breakfast, and they have lunches. They have 25 and more recipes to choose from every single week and some extra special gourmet options. I'm telling you, it's delicious. If you've never tried this before, you actually have to do this. It's very much worth it. Me and the old lady do it, and we love it, especially when we don't want to go grocery shopping. Head to HelloFresh.com/whiskey12 and use the code whiskey12 for 12 free meals, including free shipping. That's insane. That is just insane. That's too much. HelloFresh.com/whiskey12 and use the code whiskey12 for 12 free meals, including shipping. Please do that. It's America's number one meal kit.
Ginger. I like gingers.
Yeah, no, it's not nice. It's not nice to see that out there in the real world. That's why the hesitation is high. Although the next generation, that's as normal as anything else. Sending nudes is so, because of the internet now.
I know.
Like my wife's boss had said that her son at high school, because he just graduated, it was like, that is a completely normal thing to do for everyone to trade nudes.
Crazy.
Like, we were in high school, first of all, cell phones weren't really
a
thing. But even still, even in college, when like people really started to get cell phones, it was never a thing.
Definitely not.
Because you're like, what would they do with this?
Exactly. Isn't it crazy to think, like, I look at the younger generation now and I sound like a boomer and an old guy.
Okay,
but
you are.
You hear these young people and you're like, man, this is so different. I can't keep up with TikTok and OnlyFans, all this crazy new shit. And then when those kids are adults, what are they going to be freaked out about?
Right.
That is crazy to think, because it seems as crazy as it's going to get right now. But it's only going to get crazier.
Well, that's why when you talk to you, do you have any grandparents that are alive?
No, they're dead.
Okay, I have one left. And I asked her about, in the middle of the pandemic, she came and visited her sisters who live in Southern California. Her sisters moved to San Diego years ago. And I was like, are you a little afraid of coming out here, Nana? And she was like, what? Why? I was like, the pandemic. She's like, no.
Yeah.
No, why? And then you realize she's been through the fucking depression. Once they've lived through so much, like what you're saying, when we get there, you go, I don't fucking care.
Yes.
You care, like, you, it doesn't even matter. It's not even a thing. It doesn't even exist. You begin to get this new level of your own world where like all of that fodder goes away.
Yeah.
It exists. It continues to grow, but you're like, I don't fucking care.
And she's not online reading all this shit. She's not watching the news every 10 seconds we are.
She couldn't care less.
That's the best way to live.
Yeah, because it's not inundating your life with like other people's opinions about how you're supposed to feel.
Exactly.
That's been my biggest gripe, is people telling you, not giving you information, but telling you how you're supposed to feel about things.
Yeah. And if you don't feel that way, you're bad.
You're a piece of
shit. Now I got to feel exactly how you feel all the time?
Right.
That's not how people work.
That was the irony when I was a kid of like learning politics from my dad was like what a liberal is or what a conservative is. And the older I get, the more I'm like, all my friends are liberals are conservative.
Yeah.
Because they're
all
puritanical.
So
it's like, you can't say that. You can't do that.
Yes.
Like, that's what old uptight ass conservatives used to say.
A lot of the people saying defund the police are always policing people. They're telling you what to do. They're telling you about the rules, what you can't do. And you're like, man, you're kind of, it's similar. Everybody balances out. You know, you think you're this, but you're actually the exact opposite.
I was going to call my tour refund the police. We got to give them back a couple of bucks. I say, you see a cop, give him a buck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
See a cop, give him a buck. No, it's just, I think the idea, also that is another issue I do talk about is like, this refund the police thing was like a phrase that got put out as like a really catchable phrase. You know? And dumb people then were like, you're going to take away cops? What are you going to do? It's
right.
That's not what it is.
Yes.
But it's just, that's a proven point of like, when you have a dumb message, a dumb person's going to hear it the way that they hear it.
Oh yeah.
So then both sides are fucked up about it.
Exactly. We do this comedy all the time. That joke meant this. Like, how do you know what it meant?
Right.
I wrote it.
Right.
And they go, oh, whatever.
It's like, you took it that way.
Exactly. So you're the weirdo. Your brain went to the fucked up place, not mine, but all of a sudden I'm in trouble.
Defund the police should have just been called take away the tanks, and then that would have been fine.
There you go.
If you said, well, they don't need tanks anymore in LA, I'd have been like, that's probably a good solution to take away tanks.
Yeah.
But this idea that like, oh, you're going to get rid of cops, it's like that. That's where narrative gets crossed to me, wires get crossed, and it's all, then I go, well, you're all full of shit.
Yeah, you're all full of shit, and you're kind of the same person, just on the other side.
Right.
But, like, I did a college gig recently, and these kids are all very progressive and collegey and woke and all that, and then, like, it's like you said, I would say a sex joke, and they would clench their pearls, and I'm like, you're like Reagan's wife. You're like a conservative, like a super far Christian guy,
right,
you know?
Right.
So weird.
You're young. I don't do colleges anymore. I quit doing colleges probably 5 or 6 years ago, and sometimes I would get people online, like fans, be like, why don't you do schools anymore? Why wouldn't you come to my school? And honestly, it was always because of the same reason that I was like, this never felt like they really wanted it.
Yeah.
It was always
so kind of
like, yeah, I'll go see a show.
Mm-hmm. But they're in pajamas, they'll get the phone, the whole, who are you? Whatever.
It's really strange. Even fans that are on college campuses, I think their stress is they can't get into the clubs yet. Because the clubs are, I mean, most are 21 and over, some are 18, but a lot of those college kids, they just can't get in yet, so they're bummed. And they're just like, well, please come to my school. It's like, but your school sucks.
Yeah.
I don't want to come to your school.
Because
your peers are going to be the quiet kid who's having the most fun. They're going to be out-trumped by far by all the people that have something to say about
what
you said.
So true, yeah. I remember, but don't you remember like Dane Cook would go and the place would be fucking, would be like a rock show.
But that's because the time period was appropriate for that stuff. It was like people wanted raw entertainment at such a heightened level. Now they want it, but they want it their way.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's why like now, like you got, I know that what we're doing in the podcast world, the reason that we connect with fans and do all this that helps us, you know that when you go do a show, they know what they're getting into. They want to see you.
I hope so, yeah.
They do. If they pay to see you, they know enough of you by now through these mediums. Instead, you know, we're taking back the control of that misnomer element of like someone who just shows up because they want to see a show and then they're like, I can't believe he said what he said.
Yeah.
But now you're like, you know who the fuck Mark is. You know what he's going
to
say.
I hope. But yeah, it's weird. But back to the conservative and liberal thing you said.
Yeah.
I feel like as a comic, and as a sane person, shouldn't we step back and just watch the weirdos and the retards fight and go at it and have all these emotions and get upset and pissed off? That's what we're supposed to do. You're not supposed to really jump in this pool and be rah-rah-rah with some team of yours.
Right.
You know, you should watch it and observe and then write about it.
And then figure it out afterwards.
Yes!
Right, that's kind of how I feel, is I like to assess stuff. That's why I told you I was afraid to get the vax, because I'm like, I haven't figured this out yet.
Yeah, figure it out. I get you on that.
I haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah.
I got it. I got the first one, and I got sick as a dog, man.
Really?
So sick, because when you had corona, when you get the first shot, they say it can light you up. The second one apparently gets people sick that didn't have corona sometimes.
Mm.
But dude, I got the first one and I was feeling totally fine. And then 20 hours later, out of nowhere, I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't move, which was ironically worse than I felt when I had corona.
Damn.
Coronavirus didn't do anything to me physically.
J&J?
I got the Moderna, yeah, Moderna Papa. Yeah. Well, but they say it affects you all differently, and it depends on what kind of corona you got too.
Mm.
Like I had the one where I lost taste and smell, but fully functioning. I could have gone for a jog.
Yeah, weird.
Like I didn't physically feel ill. I could eat food just fine, The only thing that was a bummer was I felt lethargy. Like, just during the day, I would just have those moments where I'm like, I'm going to lay down on the couch, I guess.
Because
I was just annoyed. You know, I was just wavy. You had.
Yeah. I had that one, and I had it kind of shitty.
You had it bad.
I had it bad for one night. I was in a hotel room, and it just hit me, and I felt freezing cold. I had these crazy chills, and I took a hot shower. I was still cold. I was under the covers, and I just laid there for hours, and it finally broke, and I was covered in sweat, and I woke up feeling fine.
No, look at that.
Isn't that weird?
That's it?
Yeah.
You got the J&J?
No. I got the Moderna as well, but I'm saying that's how I felt when I had Corona.
Yeah. No, I think, look, it's just so new, and I was saying this, like, it is a funny time when people are like, are you anti-vax, right? There's this anti-vax narrative.
Sure.
But you're like, what if I'm just anti this vax? You could just be against or freaked out by one, right? You could. The idea is.
You like the polio vaccine.
I love it.
But you don't like this vaccine.
Ah, freaked out by it.
All right.
I got it anyway, and I'm still freaked out by it. We have to admit the idea that, like, it feels very odd.
It's new.
That it's so new. I go to a local college campus. It's super disorganized. I don't really know who's giving me the shot. You know, the information felt so blurry. It just didn't feel, something about it felt so bummer. I'm not saying that there's a microchip in me because there already was. I already put one in.
Uh-huh.
But I'm just saying, who the fuck knows? Who knows
what
this is going to yield? That's why my grandmother was so, but I see from those perspectives, my parents are in Florida right now getting wasted out of their mind.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, we got it. We don't care. If we die in 5 years, we're fine. they don't give a shit.
I was just in Miami, and it's almost like I'd rather live ignorant.
You mean Andrew Schultz's town?
Yeah, I'd rather go wild and maybe die than just live in fear in New York for the rest of my life.
Right.
So I get it.
Which is what a lot of New Yorkers do.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, it's a very New York thing to do. Do you go see Andrew down there?
I was only there for 2 days, and I brought the lady, so
yeah.
I felt like I was, you know, I had to like bring her to the beach
yeah.
and live it up, but
do
I wanted
the relationship
to.
Stuff.
Yeah. I'd love to get on it one day. I'm a fan.
He's down there owning Miami. He actually said, he was like, come down here and do the show. I was like, I'm not going to fly just to do the show, unless I had shows down there.
To the improv, make a weekend.
I know, I want to do shows in Florida, but I'm not doing them till the fall, I think. My dates aren't even, the way the dates lined up.
Sure.
Because now everything is so backlogged. Like, I'm not even playing Chicago, my hometown, until 2022.
Wow, you're waiting for it to open.
Well, no. The only date I could get available. It was there. I mean, it was like, I was like, this is, it's insane. And I don't know if it's not worth leaking, but the first time I got, I'll say it, but I'm going to try to play the Chicago Theater, which is.
Whoa.
I'm going to try.
That's
I'm going to try.
$5,000?
No. I think it's only 30 something. 30,
oh my God. 40. I think you can do it.
That's a lot of people, dude.
You can do it.
When they even sent me the idea, I was like, this is scary. That's so many.
But you got to film that. I mean, that's a big event.
I want to. Yeah, I want to do that.
Just that marquee.
I know, right? Going home. Like, for you, is there a place at home to play that's like a big, like would be a big nut for you or no?
Yeah, the Sanger Theater is kind of our Carnegie Hall type thing, but it's still 1,100 seats. And I don't know if I could fill it.
You could easily fill that.
I don't know. New Orleans is a kooky town to perform in.
So that's another thing that I feel, it depends on where it is, right? There's cities where I'm like, I can't believe I can't sell that many tickets here and there's not that many people that want to come out.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's city dependent on.
Definitely.
Like, what's your worst city to play in?
I mean, Miami's tough. I was just there.
Florida's hard.
That's a tough one. You know, it's very Cuban-y and sexy and kooky, and I'm not that guy.
You were. At one point.
Maybe at one point, yeah.
Yeah, you were a sexy Cuban.
Yeah, I used to be trans, but I don't know. tough town for me is like Montreal. I don't do great. I don't know.
Like at the festival?
The festival's fine, but I'm just saying I don't draw there.
I don't think anybody draws there.
Really. Oh, okay.
That city's for the festival for comics. I don't know if you'd go there. Like, have you done other Canadian? Do you do Vancouver?
Love
or?
Vancouver. Clean up in Vancouver.
Toronto?
Toronto is great.
Yeah, right. See, all these are good places to sell tickets to me because comics sometimes just skip Canada.
No, I love Canada.
Yeah, I'll go.
It's fun because it's just a little different. You know, it's like a dream. You're like, well, that's not the same as, Starbucks. It's Tim Hortons. Everything's just a little different.
Yeah, Timmy Hortons.
Same shit, but it's a little different.
I always have said this every time I go up there. The women in Canada tend to be very, very beautiful, and the men tend to be not.
Dude. What
There's
is
something
town?
About homely dudes and beautiful women that like Canada subscribes to this idea that like hot chicks will date just oafy idiots up there.
What's the rumors? Rumors Comedy Club is in Wilmington. What's that place called?
Why can't I think of it? I know
it's Edmonton. What is it?
Winnipeg. Correct. It is Winnipeg.
The men there look like you, And the women there
now
are
that is rude.
Smoking hot, and they're fine with it. It's just how the lay of the land.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think that's all they've got. Also, a lot of those guys in Canada were oil guys, and they're multi-millionaires.
Rig pigs.
Rig pigs.
We call them. Horrible audience members. They get all coked up because they got all this money, and then they'd come out, get shit-faced, and call me a homosexual.
Well, and some of that's true.
Yeah.
I learned that when I first did Edmonton. When I first did Edmonton years ago, I realized that. I was like, oh, these are 22-year-olds who have 500 grand in their bank account.
Oh, that's a tough room.
I mean, well, they got out of high school and were given a fuckload of money.
Totally.
How else would you live, though? If you were that age, you would be a piece of shit.
Yeah,
too.
I'm not investing.
No, yeah. What are you talking about?
You go hard.
You're gonna buy a bunch of trucks.
Yeah, you live it up.
Yeah, you're gonna be the guy that everyone makes fun of, like when Justin Bieber was young.
Yeah, just think of that.
And they're like, "Whoa, why would he do that?" You're like, "Who the fuck? Who else would? How would you live any other way?"
I know he's a zillionaire who's 22 with all the money in the world, and he's got a Bugatti. He's going to drive it fast.
I would do the exact same thing.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I had a fucking, Accord.
Yeah. And good he had times. To put, now, do you still have another car with the O2?
No. That's the sad thing is I love it. I'm too scared to drive it. I don't want to wreck it, and I don't want it to, fall apart.
So you got the bike, though.
Got the bike.
Still got the bike and the O2.
Love the bike. The bike, I feel like Batman whipping around New York. You get from spot to spot because that city will fuck you transportation-wise.
Totally.
You try to wait for the subway. It's running late. The cabbies, whatever. The bike, I feel like I'm beating the system.
Do you have any semblance of fear of getting hit? Because New York, people get hit on bikes a lot.
A lot. And I've fallen off of it and taken some spills, man.
Have you?
Oh, my God. I flew off the handlebars and I put my hands down. And I was wearing gloves and they tore my hands up. And I was lucky I didn't hit my head. I wasn't wearing a helmet. But like these construction guys ran over like, oh, my God, are you okay? And I look back and the bike wheel is still spinning and I was like blurry. And they picked me up and brought me off to the side and I had to like sit down for half an hour. But I got it together.
But you were okay?
I was okay. I was just shook up. Thank God.
Why no helmet? What are you doing, Mark? Wear a fucking helmet.
I got the hair. I don't want to ruin it. No, I don't know. I just...
just want to keep it. You don't want it to fall out because you're like, if I put on this helmet, it's all coming out.
I remember that was a rumor. Like, if you wear a hat, you'll go bald.
I like the idea of the construction guys dragging you off and then seeing a hot chick and like, hey, they still had a cat call while they're trying to help this broken man.
Yeah, exactly.
So of all the times you've fallen, though, none of them checked you a little bit. So I've had a lot of friends that have fallen enough on bikes where they're like, I'm out, man. I don't want to do then because the next one's going to be the one.
It's a horrible idea because sometimes it's not your fault. That was my fault, but the cabbie could sideswipe you and you hit on a parked car and you're done.
See, that's my uncle has titanium in his leg because of that. He got his leg shattered a million different ways.
Motorcycle?
He got hit by a truck on a motorcycle. Yeah, man.
He's really lucky he's alive.
He is extremely lucky he's alive. In fact, it did him. It was very unfortunate, to say the least. He ruined a big chunk of his life because of what it did to him. Anyway, enjoy the bike.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Well, the fear is, to me, I have two of my, like, I have good friends that have bikes. Like, one of my closest girlfriends, my wife's best friend, she's a bike enthusiast. She's like a bike girl who, like, models for Harley and shit.
Wow.
And I always think about it. I'm always like, I get country riding, but city riding, to me, is what I can't do. Yeah,
it's
just feels like they're going to get you, dude. Because cabbies don't give a shit about you.
No,
they don't care about you with or without the bike. So with the bike, Mark, just put on a fucking helmet.
I should put on a helmet.
For me, do it. For me.
I've had fans send me helmets. I have like a stack of helmets in my closet.
You got to do it.
Closet.
Because at the end of the day, what a shitty, annoying story I have to tell that guy that I liked died from something so stupid.
I appreciate the concern.
Look at I'm a dad right now. I'm just being such a pops right now.
He's a 90s skater and just helmets and
right.
So, dude, I grew up skateboarding too, and we didn't do that then. But you also could only go 7 miles an hour on a skateboard.
Exactly.
So there's a huge difference.
Huge difference. Although we were jumping downstairs.
Yeah, but also for some reason it's marginal. Like you're never gonna get hurt that bad if you're
and you're 13.
When you know how to fall, you know how to fall.
That's true. That's true.
I used to skate through ASU's campus when I was at night. That was my favorite at night when I was going to school there. That I would just skate around and I would hit little stairs and little
curbs.
I would do it all night long to just kind of escape. if I was just, you know, if I didn't want to go out that night, if I was bored and I was like, I'll just go skate through campus.
It was kind of zen.
It was.
It was just you alone. And it's very similar to stand-up. It's like you individual, you got to practice it. You got to work on it by yourself, make goals and, right. you know, get good. And it instead of being humiliated, you get hurt.
All these things kind of had a parallel with stand-up, with like comedy and music and hip-hop and skateboarding to me. It all kind of blended. And most comics I know that liked any of that stuff, they all kind of like a lot of the same shit.
Yeah.
The more guys I meet, I'm like, oh, we all have the same... We all like the same stuff. It was almost like destined for stand-up because we all have these similar things in common of things that you like.
Not to mention the parental shit. Usually it's they say with stand-up, it's a over-loving mom and a distant dad. Was that you?
I had, my biological father wasn't there.
There we go.
But I had a great stepdad.
Interesting.
Who was like my father. But my mom was the tough ass.
Oh.
My stepdad is a good guy. He was tough as shit too. But my mom was the toughest. My mom is the kind of person, and she grew up 9 brothers and sisters. They grew up, you know, very working class. Mm-hmm. So like
Irish Catholic.
Yeah. So for her, it's like, get over it. Everything is like, shut the fuck up. Grow up.
Right.
So if something really bothered me, I'd be like, this really bothered me. And she's like, you're gonna be fine.
Yeah.
It was always that kind of love. She was loving. But it was very much like, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
It was never like, my little baby. But like every one of my Jewish friends' mom is like, oh, you're the bad, you can do no wrong.
Right.
My mom's like, you'll do wrong all the time. You do wrong on a constant basis.
Yeah, you're alive.
What did you have?
I had the mom who kept it too real. You know, like I would be like, look at this painting. And she was like, it's not great. You know, I had that mom. So it was kind of nice because when she did compliment you, she meant it.
Correct.
And then my dad, I was telling him at lunch today, my dad was a... fun guy, nice guy, angry guy, temper. You never knew he was like a cat. You know, sometimes you're petting a cat and it's going great and then he flips out. That's how my dad was. So I grew up terrified of my dad, but he would zing you and it would cut you to the core.
Yeah.
I was telling him I was killing it like a Thanksgiving with my cousins at the kid table. And my dad walks over and he goes, what are you holding court? And it crushed me because he was right. I was so proud of myself and he got me right to the bones.
Did your dad, was he physically abusive?
No. But he was, you know, temper dad. Throw the fucking plate against the wall.
So when he would snap, he would do something physical, but it was never to you.
Yeah, he wouldn't hurt us, but he didn't need to. We were on our knees trembling just from just him yelling.
You never got hit in the back of the head or spanked or pushed or
a little
pulled.
Of that, but I don't even think about that. Like he never did anything crazy, but
getting cracks in the back of the head to me were like the most painful thing on earth. I would get cracks in the back of the head.
Really?
When I was being a real piece of shit.
Yeah.
I never ever got it when it was just out of nowhere. It wasn't like, you spilled the fucking water. It was never that thing.
Yeah.
It was always like, I really fucked up pretty bad.
In here, we pour whiskey.
Your boy loves cereal. I've always loved cereal. And I love late night cereal snacks is what I do when I get home late from shows. And I'm telling you, this is the new way I'm going to be snacking in the middle of the night. Magic Spoon. Magic Spoon cereal. It doesn't have anything to do with the spoon. It has to do with the magic that's in the cereal itself, ladies and gentlemen. Magic Spoon cereal is so good. 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, only 140 calories per serving. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. The only thing that's not free is the product itself, but it is so good. I'm telling you, the 4-pack I got were cocoa, peanut butter, fruity, and frosted. And you know what those all kind of taste like. You're an adult now. And it's an adult cereal, seriously. Cut down on carbs and sugar and all the unhealthy stuff. This is the best late night snack that I've had in years. I actually mean it. The peanut butter is so good because I'm a PB freak. And the cocoa is good too. If you love your chocolate, you got it. But I'm more of an orange peanut butter guy myself. So I really did enjoy it. It tastes delicious, just like a cup. Just like a peanut butter cup. Tastes like a peanut butter cup. You absolutely need to try this if you haven't tried Magic Spoon yet. It's very much worth it, particularly if you're somebody who wants to have a late night snack or eat it for breakfast in the morning. Doesn't matter. I just like mine as a fifth meal at the end of the day, and it's not unhealthy, and it tastes good, and it makes you feel like, oh, I didn't just fat out on 9 cups of sugar. But go to magicspoon.com/ginger to grab a variety pack and try it today. Be sure to use the promo code GINGER at the checkout to save $5 off your order. Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, which I promise you won't, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Come on, man. What do you got? Try it out. What's the worst that could happen? Remember, you get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/ginger. Use that code GINGER to save $5 off. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring the episode.
Ginger.
I like gingers.
Bill Burr has this funny story about his brother said, "You suck, Mom, and I hate your dinner," or whatever, something mean. And his dad took a glass of milk and threw it in the kid's face. And yeah. I remember being like, damn, that is fucked up.
It's effective is what I would say.
It's effective, but that is pretty scarring.
Milk in the face?
Milk in the face from a dad is like, Jesus.
See,
I gotta
my perspective,
make some changes.
I'm like, that makes perfect sense. It's just milk. It's just liquid. It didn't hurt him. He'll be fine.
That's true. I mean, I'm not against it. I'm just like, if I saw that at a friend's house, I'd be like, holy cock.
White people are so scared of disciplining their children that we're to a place now that white people think that if you even spank your kid or if you grab him by the arm and go, hey, cut it out, that everyone's going to write about it.
Right.
But we're the only people. Everybody else, every other race, it's totally okay to discipline kids and nobody says anything. It's fine.
You hear kids, I'm going to call social services.
That's insane.
It's insane. Because if you did it, like if a black kid did it, the mom would be like, do it and then I'll kill you again.
Yeah, I'll kill you in front of the social service woman that comes.
Yeah, exactly. One time I was at a friend's house and his parents were kind of scary. And his mom slapped his older brother and his nose started bleeding. And I was like 8 and I was like, this is a little heavy.
I got to go home.
Yeah, I think I called my mom.
I hear my mom calling me.
Yeah.
My buddy Brandon Anderson used to run home. His mom would, because they were always up to no good.
Mm-hmm.
So she was always disciplining him. But he would run home and when he would get to his house, you could like see it like a cartoon. You could watch him sprint into the front door and there was a big window and he would run upstairs as fast as he could and slam the door. And then he'd wave out the window like peace. He's like, peace, peace. He would just trap himself in his room because they were always getting hit for doing something stupid.
Yeah. Remember how scary that was? That was the height of fear as a kid. That and principal stuff was scary.
Now, were you a kid that got suspended and stuff?
Oh, yeah. I went to public school. It was pretty dicey.
Yeah.
You know, fights and, you know, throwing rocks or whatever it was.
Now, how many times did you get suspended in high school?
In high school, not as much. In high school, probably once or twice. But in, you know, middle school, that's when it really got bad.
Yeah.
Because it was like this competition, like who is the baddest kid? And
right.
You kept upping it.
Yeah.
You know, you'd start a food fight or whatever it is. One time I spray painted cow on the wall at school to represent one of the teachers and she caught it right away and they called my mom.
At least she knew you were talking about her.
Yeah, she got it.
That's like a tip of the hat. I'm talking about you, fatty.
Yeah, she got the message.
What was her name? Do you remember? Mrs.
Deborah something. But,
Mrs. Deborah Bovine. Miss Deborah Bovine.
Once to her and she wasn't having that.
You did this?
Yeah.
And she didn't like it?
She didn't like that. I didn't even know what it was really. You know, I'm like, 12. I'm like, ah. She was like, Jesus.
I got suspended for drawing a penis and putting the teacher's name in the jizz. I did an artistic penis.
That's like a Banksy.
Yeah, I did an artistic penis because they had handed us in health class, like, the diagrams of a dick and, of the female genitalia. And so I copied it. I drew it and I drew in the jizz. I drew her name and... suspension because somebody in the class pulled it out of the trash after I made everybody laugh.
What a rat.
I want to tell you something. And I slept with that girl in college.
Hey,
you got her back.
Right. You won.
Yeah.
And then you jizzed on her back and wrote her name. Yeah, wrote her name.
Yeah. It was such a mean thing. She had a crush on me, so she wanted to call me out for doing that. And I was like, why would you fucking do that?
Isn't that interesting? Because you see that kind of on social media. It's like, I always thought that girl liked me, and now she's trying to ruin my life. Maybe there's some kind of blend there. There's something with that.
Do you have people that come after you that you think used to like you?
Yeah.
Yeah?
You're like, something's up. There must be some reason you're this motivated to hurt me. It's maybe you had a thing for me. Who knows? I don't know. I'm just trying to get in the girl
head. Maybe they're hurt.
Yeah, they're definitely hurt. They want you to hurt like they hurt.
And they feel my hurt, my pain.
And then they're the compassionate one. They're the hero. Like, you're ruining my life. You know?
Have you had someone try to ruin your life?
Oh, I think we all have.
Yeah.
It sucks. It hurts. That's why I get annoyed, like, oh, cancel culture. I'm like, I get it. Cancel culture is a hack term. It's been done to death. But, like, I don't know, 12,000 people yelling at you, calling you a racist or a bigot or whatever. It sucks. And that's what it is. It's not like, you know, they always go, he's still working. Like, yeah, but he's depressed and he got made fun of. If I make a fat joke to Lena Dunham, I'm the biggest piece of shit on the planet. But if you call me a homophobe, to me, that's worse than fat.
Yeah.
So why is that not bad?
Right.
Why are you're not mean?
Right.
Because you're doing it under the guise of like stopping some bad shit, whatever. But like, I don't know, they're wrong being fat. It's just a joke. But you called me a horrible thing.
Well, sometimes they give you such easy layups that you're like, it's just a joke. And you know it's a joke and they know it's a joke.
Yeah,
and you're like, how can we not be on the same page? And it's like, you're perpetuating something negative. You're like, or it's just a joke.
I know.
It's just a small, like there was a guy on TikTok made me laugh. Lizzo was doing like a, Lizzo does like a,
it's already funny.
Like a fan suggestion, I know. Yeah. It's like a fan suggestion video. And she's like, okay, all right, well, this is kind of weird. I'm doing it. And it's dunking Oreos into milk. Mm. And then right as she's doing it, it cuts to this guy and he's staring at the camera and he's just like, are you fucking trying to tell me Lizzo has never dunked Oreos into milk? He's losing it. He's like, what the fuck are we talking
That's
about?
That's great.
Yes. And it was so funny. It was so simple. He's like, "What? This is not the first time Lizzo's dunked Oreos into milk.
Yeah.
And of course, so all the comments like, you're a piece of shit. You're body shaming, all this stuff. It's like, dude, it's just a joke. Her Instagram is Lizzo Eats.
I know.
That's her Instagram. She she jokes about it.
Good point.
So he jokes about it. He's the bad guy.
Right, right. Because they feel bad for her, which
well,
means...
he was also white. So
well, that
if it was
help.
A black dude doing it, it would have been like, you know that there's a black dude, I don't remember his name, and he is so mean to chicks online.
There's a lot of that. And they're great and they're funny, but they get away with it because it's a too dicey of an area. It's like that old Kimmel thing where he said, there's no pita at the player's ball. You know, because it's all fucking fur coats, but they're not going there.
Right.
They're not going to fuck with that world.
Right.
It's too dicey.
Right. This black dude, I have to look him up, man. He's so funny to me, though. He's always like, all these women are like, why can't I get a good man? And he's like, how much do you weigh? That's like his first question.
I've seen this guy.
He's so funny.
So
and she's like, I'm 5'6", and I'm 185. And he's like, and that's your problem. And you think that that's okay.
Right.
And they take it.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, it's wild. If a white dude is doing this,
Oof.
If a white dude's doing it to white women, I'm saying.
Yeah.
They'll light you on fire.
Yeah, yeah. And if you do it to black women, forget about it.
Oh, that's not even a real thing. Now you're talking chaos.
Yeah.
It's like a Marvel movie of murder that you're talking about. Speaking of movies that get shitted on all the time, I watched Mortal Kombat last night, and I got to tell you, loved it. Everyone hated it, and I loved it. I don't care.
What's not? I mean, I haven't seen it, and I'm not really into that stuff. But like, it's Scorpion and Sub-Zero fighting. What's the problem?
I'm not into the. I don't watch the Marvels and all the superhero movies.
Yeah, me neither.
I'm not. I never was into that stuff. But I was like, I gotta watch this. This one, because I loved Mortal Kombat as a kid.
Yeah, finish.
We used to go down to the hockey, the skating arena by my house, and they had a video game, you know, like a little arcade area by the rink, between the rinks. And I would save quarters for weeks to go down there to dump $15 into Mortal Kombat and NFL Blitz and all the all those games. But Mortal Kombat was always my fucking favorite. So I had to watch it last night, thinking everyone talks shit about it, and they're like, it's terrible. There's no plot. It was great. Because if I watch those things, I just want to see murder and blood and killing, and I don't need a great storyline.
No, it's fighting. What are we doing? It's like when they get mad about comedy, like, it wasn't that great of a movie. It's like, did it make you laugh? Was it funny?
Right.
Case closed.
What was the last comedy you saw, commercial comedy, that made you laugh, genuinely?
Probably Tropic Thunder.
That's a long time ago.
I know. Well, Downey was so good with the black guy, and Ben Stiller was great. Jack Black was great. It was edgy. It was fun.
Yeah.
And I saw it in the theater with a black guy, and he was like, that was unbelievable.
Well,
what Downey did was unbelievable.
Of course, because only now small voices say that they're offended by that stuff.
Yeah.
But you see all these movies. There was a list of movies that they put up of like that you couldn't do today or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And the first one was... Ace Ventura, because it's transphobic.
Oh.
Because Finkel is Einhorn. Einhorn is Finkel.
I forgot about that. Ah, interesting.
But see what that does? It never even entered our brain
that was
transphobic. But they manufacture this, and now they're like, you should feel bad about that. You're like, that was a bit in a movie.
Yeah.
That a guy was disguising himself because he was a murderer.
Yeah, he was trying to get away with something.
Right, so you're like... he's in disguise, and they're like, no, it's transphobic.
That's really, boy, we got to really sift through and find
shit.
But
that's what they're doing.
I know, but that's a sign that things are pretty good. If you got to really,
really
go through the bushes.
Through it,
look at the bachelor chick. She had an antebellum party in college or whatever it was. She's trying to marry a black guy. Like, shouldn't that trump the dumb party that every kid went to in Georgia?
Is that why that guy got fired, the host? That's what it was all about?
Yeah, he kind of defended her a little.
He defended the idea that she went to the party?
Yeah, he's like, she was 20. I don't know. She's trying to marry this tall, dark
chocolate. So now
she
wants to marry a black guy, but they're like, no!
Yeah, till
death. You don't
get
to make up for that.
I know, but we got to look. We got to sift.
See, that's kind of like I was looking into this Piers Morgan and Sharon Osbourne thing.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I really did. I dug as deep as I could because I was like, I really want to find out what happened. So once you uncover all of it, you realize why he got fired.
Please.
It's not because It's not because he said, I don't believe in what Meghan Markle said. It's because over the years, he said controversial things. Now, they're not going to bring up all of those. They can just go, he's a piece of shit. I don't like what he says. He's a bigot. He's been sexist before. He's been racist before. He's been insensitive before. Mm. But all they need was one little thing to break the ice, and it was this. It was,
interesting.
Oh, you don't believe this woman was attacked for her race, so you're racist.
Uh-huh.
That, to me, wouldn't indicate that he's racist.
Yeah.
But they just use that because all the other things were chipping away, and Sharon had said she supports her friend's belief in his opinion.
Yeah, it's an opinion show. He's supposed to have an opinion.
Right. And then, of course, they had to clip her. They offered her, rumor was, they offered her to say goodbye. Mm. They were like, you can go on your own or we can have you leave type of shit. You know, when a workplace is like, we can have you fire. We don't want to fire you. If you want to walk out, we'll give you the chance.
Uh-huh.
And she didn't take it because, quite frankly, what world are we living in when you can't have an opinion about other people's opinions? That's even scarier.
Yeah.
It's an opinion about a fucking opinion.
That's a good point. That's why it's weird when people are like, oh, everything's fine. You're like, you didn't see that?
That's
like,
crazy.
That's crazy.
And here's the other thing. To say that the thing that would have made it racist, which is what I was looking for, was if Piers was like, you know, oh, this black woman's in there complaining about it. You know what I mean?
Of course.
No, but all he was saying was he doesn't think that what the way that she was receiving messages or communicating about what she felt, he doesn't feel it was genuine.
Yeah.
Right. So when you feel that someone's being disingenuous, and I say to you, hey, Mark, I think sometimes when you say stuff to me, I think you're being a little disingenuous.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the end of it.
Yeah.
I'm not automatically going to go, ah, you're a fucking racist because of that shit. Because
I know.
It's like, it doesn't make any sense. It's just like, it doesn't add up to me.
No,
it just didn't add up.
And now everybody's always on edge. Everybody's nervous on eggshells. And we go, this is the way the wind's blowing. I'll just go that way because they're scared.
Right.
And that's not a healthy way to be. And it's definitely not good entertainment.
No.
You want everybody scared in the entertainment world where we're supposed to kind of push it a little bit and have fun and be wacky and different.
I don't know anything about the Meghan Markle girl or anything about that bullshit because I don't know about that world. All I knew was what he said. But what I do know about her is she was married to the old head of my management company.
Really?
Yeah. And she left him in the beginning of their marriage because she hooked up with a dude on the show that she was on Suits.
There you go.
She left him for a dude on Suits. They tried to do a little story about it, but the guy that I know, he didn't want anything to do with it. He was like, oh, I don't want to get involved. I've got my own life. He's married now. He's got a family. You know what I mean? He doesn't care.
Yeah.
But I remember when they got married. And I was like, he was in love with this girl, dude. He was obsessed, and it was beautiful. And then she left him for a dude on the TV show, and then she did the briefcases on fucking, you know, whatever, Howie Mandel's or whatever it was. Yeah, whatever the pick the cases was.
Yeah.
And then after that, she goes and becomes this piece of royalty. So all I'm saying is, you know, the idea that she
is a victim,
or the idea that she couldn't hyperbolize for the sake of entertainment.
Of course.
Is pretty real.
Yeah.
Like she loves entertainment. She's in entertainment. I'm not saying she's a bad person. I don't know anything about her. All I'm saying is, why do we do this thing where they're like, she's infallible, or they're infallible. They would never make stuff up. They would never lie. It's like, everybody makes shit up, everybody lies.
Yeah, of course.
What does that even mean to think that someone's infallible of being?
I know.
Indulging in something. It's
and
not
look at
real.
Her track record. I mean, look what's going on in the past. There's a ton of evidence and weird shit going on. Like, can't we use that?
You're racist, by the way. I'm going to cancel you.
I didn't
right
know she was black. I sound like Roseanne. I didn't know the bitch was black.
Is that what you said?
Yeah. Which, if you look at her Twitter profile of whoever that lady was, you're like, I could see it.
Roseanne.
And Roseanne's crazy, too.
She's bonkers. Fucking bonkers.
Nut farm.
It is weird that they wanted her to have a show that had some conservative roots to it, and then they gave it to her, right? And then they fired her for being conservative.
Oh,
like the thing you wanted. The thing you wanted, she gave you, right?
Yeah.
You said, it's like hiring, who's the puppet guy? Jeff Dunham.
Yeah.
You know, but then being like, hey, man, you can't do any kind of racial stuff. You're like, what? His whole fucking act is that.
He's got an ISIS puppet.
Right. You know what you bought into.
Yeah.
Also, there's a guy that can't get canceled for his shit. Isn't that funny?
Why is that? Because he makes too much money?
He makes too much money. He's making people too much money. In the same way that like Harvey Weinstein, they were like, oh my God. You're like, he was making people millions of dollars. They didn't want to say anything about him.
Mm.
They knew that he was evil. You think those people didn't know that he was evil at all, like at all.
That's the scared thing. Everybody's kind of nervous. Everybody's like, I don't want to get in trouble. So right. I'll do what I got to do. Like that guy who got fired from the Times. You see that guy, that old guy, he's worked there 48 years. He got caught saying the N-word and like, he was just reading something or whatever. Not saying the N-word, but he was like, let me just read this and blah, blah, blah. And somebody got on video. They signed a petition at the Times. They got him fired. He's like, 78.
Wait, he sent the N-word out like where?
Well,
did he say
it's a long story, but he took these kids to Venezuela or Peru on a field trip. Nice guy. This is what he does. And one kid's like, I got in trouble at school for saying the N-word. He's like, well, how did you say it? And he goes, did you say blah, blah, blah like this? Or did you say blah, blah like that? And somebody filmed him saying that. But he was just trying to get to the bottom of it. And that was it. He got fired. And this poor guy, he's like an old guy. He's worked there for years. Everybody loved him. He's a sweet old man.
What an insane idea. That's like me filming you singing along to any rap song and then you saying the N-word in your car, which everybody fucking does.
Yes.
You don't stop yourself when you're singing a rap song. And then if I film that at a stoplight, I can just upload that and be like, get him.
Well, the thing is, they sign a petition. And what that comes down to is people going, if I don't sign this, I'm fucked.
Right,
so
then
that's
I'm racist.
All that is. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Right, that's the perpetual thing. Is like if I said I sided with Piers Morgan, I'm racist. It's like, no, I'm not siding with Piers Morgan. I'm just saying this seems a little fucked up to just call someone racist when they didn't say a racist phrase or word.
Yes. Yes. Right? Exactly. Exactly.
But they want to assign you to the, what is that, the high school code of conduct. If you're at the party, even if you're not drinking, you're in trouble. You know, as athletes, if we didn't go get drunk, but we were at the party, I would get suspended and I'd miss two games.
Right, right, right.
But I was like, if I didn't have a drip of alcohol, it doesn't matter. You were there.
Yeah, and I get that rule, whatever. It sucks, but it doesn't apply to everyone, and that's why it's annoying.
Right.
You know, like you hear like, oh, this person did blackface in 1994, and everybody likes them, so they just kind of get away with it.
A Fallon.
Yeah, and you're like, I don't want him to get in trouble either. I don't like canceling or anything like that, but like,
but they're picking and choosing.
They're picking and choosing. So that's, if you're going to do it, you got to do it all the way.
Right.
You know, like, you can't call Lena Dunham fat, but you can call Ted Cruz fat and Trump fat and Chris Christie fat. That's fine.
Right.
Which, I like fat jokes. I want to call everybody fat. But don't say I can't call her fat. You've deemed this person inappropriate or bad, so you just get to have, the rules don't matter there because you deem them. Who the fuck are you to deem?
Right.
I want
to
deem.
It's all or nothing.
It's all or nothing.
But it should be nothing.
It'd be nice.
It'd be nice if it was nothing.
It'd be nice. That was maybe the 90s.
Yeah.
It was nothing. That was
right,
fun.
Right. Right after the Coke binge of the 80s, we kind of leveled out in the 90s and we're just doing our own thing.
And it was also pre-cell phone, pre-social media. So you got beat up if you said, I got beat up for saying crazy shit.
Yeah.
And that was just how it was.
Yeah, I saw a guy. Yeah, I remember kids getting hit for saying stupid shit to each other.
Yeah.
Racial shit.
And then
you just get into a fight. And then it usually kind of was the beginning and the end of it.
That was it. That was it.
You got your head knocked in a little bit.
Right.
So what you're saying is we should be able to hit everybody that says something wrong.
That'd be cool.
Yep.
Men, women,
everyone. We all got to fight.
Get Howie Mandel on it. Hey, you said this. Have it out. Boom. That's why UFC is like the most progressive thing on TV.
Yeah, just fight.
It's fighting. They hug after. It's men, women, every race, every country. It's great.
Yeah. Are you into the new regime of like the boxing world of the TikTok celebrities and all this shit?
I think it's impressive. I think it's fascinating.
Yeah.
Like what Jake Paul is doing. He really skipped the line and people are mad about it, but it's like, he kind of figured it out.
He was chirping at DC Cormier.
I saw Danny Cormier.
Do you know him?
No, but he's a good. He's a beast.
What if they fought?
I think DC, you can't fuck with him.
You say that.
I think he's
too
good.
Then I get scared to think about how young that kid is.
True, and he's not a bad boxer. He has some good technique.
No, he's not. But also, I just think age sometimes, it's like DC is older.
But he's not that. He still was killing Stipe.
Yeah, but still, that kid is a kid.
I know.
You play basketball?
No.
What sport do you play at all?
Now?
Yeah.
I'm old.
What could you do? What'd you used to do?
I mean, I skateboarded. I'd like a little volleyball, maybe some table tennis, foosball.
All right, none of these will apply.
Air hockey.
I was going to say, like, when I played basketball, my whole life is I played basketball, and I quit years and years ago. I just don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
I like to run and work out a little bit.
Same.
Which is, sorry, this is why I came here after I went to the gym. I apologize for this.
Good legs.
Thanks, man. But if I go back and play basketball now, it's disgusting. It's embarrassing.
Oh, yeah.
It's rude. I look dumb.
Yeah.
It's like I'm infringing on their fun.
Right.
They're like, get this old white orange piece of shit. You know what I mean?
I get it.
I was hooping in Raleigh, and I told this story before, but man, this kid dunked on me so fucking hard. And I wasn't really on me because I didn't go up to contest. I was just down low.
Yeah.
So I like turned last minute. You know, I'm like, you know, I was poster child at the moment, hardcore. And he hits me, and the young kid, one of the kids, is like, man, you gonna let him dunk on you like that? And I was like, yeah. I'm 38. Yes, I am. What the fuck do you think this is? Dude, I have a whole life after this.
Also, I didn't want him to. What do you mean let him?
Right.
Should I shoot him? What am I going to do here?
But you realize the youth is like, it's just, that's why I think of that. When I saw them chirping, I thought, because DC is a great dude. I met him through Joe, and he's a bad motherfucker.
Oh, yeah.
So no disrespect to him. I was just saying, I wonder what would happen, though, because it's a pretty good match.
I'm down. I hope they do it.
I don't, but DC's got too much integrity.
Probably, yeah.
He doesn't want to, you know what I mean? Like those guys, especially now that he's partially a face of the UFC, I don't think he wants to do that shit.
And he's only going to lose. It's a lose-lose. You beat the guy,
that's the problem.
Big deal, you lose, you lose.
That's to me, that's becoming a problem.
It's
like
fighting a woman.
They can call you out. Well, you win some part of it, you win. Because you get the satisfaction of the pop.
Yeah, that's true.
No, I think it's the more that these young famous people call out other people in their realms, the people they're calling out, it only makes them look bad.
You think?
Yeah, it's because like Jake Paul knocking out people.
But the Ben Askren thing, it worked out for him.
For Ben?
No, for Jake.
Oh, no, I'm saying it only makes the guys they call out look bad, like Ben Askren.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
Even if he wins, then you're like, well, so what?
Yeah.
I just think it's a bad move. It's a money play.
It's a good payday.
But also, Ben Askren's you and I are in better shape than Askren was going into that fight.
That was bad. He
really
was doughy.
Weird.
I wanted to push his stomach and go,
yeah. It was beyond doughy, though. It just looked, it looked like he was doing it as a message a little bit. It was looked like he was like, oh, fuck you. You know what? I'm going to eat fast food every day.
I'm going to look worse.
Until we fight. Because he never was like that.
That
was a weird shape for him.
That was kooky.
Even beyond coming out of surgery, I understand that that's a part of it. But I was just like,
yeah, melted candle.
It's a little weird.
That was like
dude.
Comedy body.
Yeah, it was. It was like comedy body.
Like when you go swimming with a bunch of comics, you're like, oh, look at that. Joe DeRosa looks like ass.
And you go, I'm not bad.
Yeah, you're doing good.
Yeah, you go, I'm not bad. Yeah, Joe DeRosa, don't say that, dude. Don't say that. He'll come get you.
No, he's drinking somewhere.
You know what he's up to, by the way? Oh, we shouldn't even talk about
it. Sal Volcano pod.
Well, those two
guys—they're
killing it. Yeah, those two. Well, Sal's got a pod with DeStefano too.
I know, it's like
and your pod's great.
Oh, thank you.
It's very, very good.
Thanks. We're finally cooking a little bit.
Yeah,
you know, New York is 12 years behind you Jews out here. It's bananas.
Yeah, well, it should be.
Well,
we're the sellouts. We're the losers. We're the guys you guys talk shit about.
No, we just focused on the stand-up.
We're the sellouts.
All right, you said it. You get that?
All right. We wanted to focus on the stand-up too. We just, I think the difference of New York and LA inherently was
money.
We were okay with
fame.
We were okay with doing extracurriculars for money.
Yeah, and we do it now, so you kind of
we showed you the way.
Did it first.
But also, to be fair to us, you guys, you assholes got paid real money to do comedy. We never did out here.
Oh, like at clubs.
Yeah, so that's what's annoying is New York comics are like, oh, you can't just do just comedy. It's like, no, bitch, we were getting $15 a set. We couldn't live out here. You cocksuckers could go do five sets and make what? Well, what on a really good night could someone make?
On a weekend, you could make, you know, $600-$700.
Yeah, go fuck yourself. We never made that money. And
really?
And I'm talking even at the guys that were like the top, they're only making a couple hundred at the main room shows on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the shows, dude, you're making chump change.
Yeah, well, I got to say, though, I did those Tripoli shows a few times. You get like a $400 check.
Yeah.
That was a shocker.
Yeah.
That was nice. And a bag of weed that would last you a month.
So when those shows came around, when the producers started coming around, it started to change the game for us.
Yeah.
But up until then, dude, my whole career, we made no fucking money.
Yeah.
No money.
And I used to do the improv. You get a check for like $11.88. I'm what is this number?
Yeah, they take taxes out of it.
Yeah.
Like, holy
and
fucking
you couldn't pay me out of the pocket with this?
So they started paying cash at some point, but they also, these corporations don't want to get clipped by taxes. So they want you to take the brunt of the tax joke.
Damn.
Of course. What do you mean? They don't like you.
Take the brunt of everything. That's why these comics get fucking bitter when they make it, because they're like, fuck you. You screwed me for years. I'm taking the door.
Well, that is an interesting conversation I just had with someone that I don't want to mention who we both know we can talk after, but a big comic who I said, this is why guys are ruthless with taking the door.
Yeah.
Because for so many years, you realize when you do math and you realize what clubs are getting and you're not getting.
Oh yeah.
You start to go, wow, this is fucking crazy.
I know, it's crazy.
So, and then there's guys like Garland. I had Jeff on here. Jeff, because he's so rich, was like, he's going to donate money to the back to the clubs because of you know, because of the pandemic. He's like, I want someone to survive. And I said, that's nice. He goes, you should do it. I go, no. Oh, I need the money. What do you mean? Yeah. I for years, we didn't make any of the money for the
Totally. Clubs. I mean, you'd lose money. You'd get $500 a weekend, but you had to fly there. You slept on a friend's couch. Then you Duh. Bought drinks all night. You got the left side of the menu shit. I mean, Right. It was hell.
Right. And then sometimes they'd make you pay. Remember places that are like, you have to pay for the meal. You're like, I have to pay for the fucking $6 cheeseburger? You really want to charge me for that shit?
I did a gig. It was one of my first headlining gigs, Youngstown, Ohio. Shit room. There's 11 people there, whatever. And I'm like, well, I'm headlining now. I'll get a nice meal at least. Fuck this. The hotel sucks. The club sucks. The manager sucks. But I'll get a meal. So I go, what do I get? And the guy goes, you got to get the swordfish. And I go, great. Bring it on. He goes, you know, there's a good wine that pairs well. I was like, well, bring on the wine. So I must have had like 5 glasses of wine. I got the swordfish. I got a dessert. He gives me the check. It was like $280. Like, what are you? You upsold me? I was trying to, I work here. I'm the headliner. And I had to pay for it.
You did?
I paid. What could I do?
You could tell him to go fuck himself.
He was paying me later in the week. I needed it.
But nothing, really. That was probably your whole check.
It was half of it, yeah.
Yeah, that sucks, dude.
I know. It was crazy. But I was like, man, showbiz is tough.
Those days, losing money, when I used to lose money, was really heartbreaking. Yeah. I had an emotional breakdown in the car. I was driving, doing a triple run out here. And I had an emotional breakdown. I pulled over to the side off of fucking Reno. I was on my way to Montana. I just broke down, man.
Whoa.
I couldn't do it anymore because I barely had enough to have gas to get up there.
Oh.
And I just was losing it. Mentally, I was just and also it came on the heels of I had gotten a speeding ticket. I got pulled over.
Oh, that takes everything you got, those speeding tickets.
Oh,
and
I was
begging with, please,
I did. I begged him so bad. Yeah. I'm just a comedian. I'm just going up to Boise or whatever, wherever I was going. Oh, Billings, Montana.
He's like, I've never heard of you. Like, no shit. That's why I'm broke.
Yeah. That's why there's 4 different wheels on this Hyundai Sonata. No shit, you've never fucking heard of me. These are all stolen from different fucking body shops.
I'm riding on the donut. You know about those, you pig. Now leave me be. I got to go bomb in
Let
Montana.
Let me be, pig. I did. Went and ate shit in my, and they remember when they were doing lie credits? When they're like, you seen this guy?
Yes, lie credits.
It's like Comedy Central, HBO, ABC, yeah. NBC. It's like, you've been on nothing. You've been on nothing. And YouTube wasn't even around. So you had nothing to even fake it to prove it.
I remember I called my mom crying once. Asking her for I need $500. I can't pay the rent. Yada yada yada. And we don't do that in my family.
Same.
Like, there's no asking for help or showing emotion. And it was tough. And she was like, "Take it, Jesus!
Right?
Like, get out of here,
you
fucking loser!"
Because you were so desperate.
Yeah, that's how bad it was. You know, it was New York. It was freezing cold. I'm living in a shit box with rats. It was hell.
And now look at you. Fancy, famous.
Here I am with my Hyundai Veloster.
Hyundai Molester?
Yeah, I got the Honda Diddler.
The Honda Diddler outside.
Yeah.
Uncle Honda. People should check out, by the way, just for fun. Oh, people should check out Tuesdays with Stories. It's a great show.
Thank you.
And you do it with the handicapped kid. What's that kid's name who's handicapped that you do it with?
Josh Blue. Joe List.
Love Joe List.
Yeah, and I do another one with Sam Morril called We Might Be Drunk because we're the last guys boozing in this business.
Me too. We didn't drink today. We should have drank because we're early in the morning here. We should have told the fans that usually we drink on the show, and I have a plethora of booze that just got sent to me. I have more booze up there than I could ever imagine.
Great selection, by the way. As a booze hound, I can tell you. This
we
is
got some really,
stuff.
Really good stuff that got sent to me. Some of that's private barrel selection. That Blanton's, you know, that's a little trick to give you about Blanton's, the one that's wrapped up in the fishnet stockings, looking like a little whore, round whore there.
Yeah.
These things are impossible to find at liquor stores typically because they sell out so fast. So the trick for people listening, for you as well, grocery stores. Go to grocery stores.
Not liquor store.
No, man. Liquor stores, they sell out way too fast. You go to a grocery store and you'll find these things usually hidden with all the high... You know, they put them with champagne.
Oh, wow.
You know when people buy like a Dom and you know, they always have like Veuve in a glass case. Almost always, they'll have a couple of different kinds of whiskey. They usually have like a Whistle Pig that's a 15-year. They'll have a Blanton's. They'll have like... then they'll put like Weller in there maybe. Mm. It's interesting to find out which grocery stores are keen with good... whiskey. So I'll go around sometimes if I've got like a day down and I'm running errands, and I'll just go look at grocery stores and see which ones carry good shit.
Damn.
Because the local liquor stores, here's what really happens. It's a sham like everything else. They call their buddies that are whiskey guys and they're like, you know what we're getting in on Tuesday? So they come, they buy it. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
And bars and distributors, they get them first anyway. So they get first pickings. So any of your buddies that own local bars and shit, they have all the connects.
Damn.
So for Joe Schmo losers, I got to go fishing for it so I can find the good stuff. But it's grocery stores. That's the tip. Don't go to liquor stores.
Damn. There you go. You heard it here first, folks.
Always go to grocery stores. Always.
Yeah.
Next time you do come out, we will start boozing again. I know I'm sad we couldn't get
a drink
today.
I would like to.
But this is called the Whiskey Ginger, and we should have. Did we drink? We got to drink when we were in Lewis's when we did it first, did we?
I think we had a sip.
Yeah, we had a couple of
sips. But I've been back on the road, and it's so nice being in that green room, and you know, you got two shows. The second show goes well, so you have that tequila or that whiskey or that scotch, and then the second show, you're a little looser,
and
the crowd's a little drunk, and you're kind of matching your drunkenness, and you do the whole, hey, can I get one more on stage, and they bring it to you, and the crowd loves it, and you shoot it.
Now you take shots from people from the crowd if they send you up one.
Well, I learned from a skilled booze bag comedian that he'll get a water sent up in a shot glass. So he's like, they're like, "Oh my God, he's bananas!" You know, he's crazy.
Right.
So I do a lot of that.
I don't do. I tell them not to bring me the shot because I'm always like, I already have a full drink.
I don't
also need the shot if I have a full drink.
Well, we drink liquor, so we have a full cup of shots.
Yeah,
we don't need another shot.
Another sidecar shot. Do you now? Will you not drink for the first show?
I try not to.
Really?
Because the second show, once I start drinking, I can't stop. So by the second show, I'm like, what was I saying? Oh, man, the fucking Jews, I'll tell you. And I go off the rails, so I got to just be a good boy and hang tight.
That's how Mitch was when the last time I saw Mitch Hedberg before he died was...
You saw him?
Right before he died, literally. Whoa. So he did Tempe. I saw him at the Tempe Improv, and then he went back to the East Coast, and then that's where he died on the East Coast, I think, when he did a couple of shows, maybe in Jersey or something like that. But
Jersey will kill you. It's got Giraldo.
That's what. Well, yeah, I've been in that hotel. I think I've been in the room.
Whoa, Stress Factory Hotel.
Yeah, baby. It's scary too. There's like a church across the street. You're like,
yes,
it's looming right there.
Oh boy.
Which is where you and I wouldn't belong, by the way.
You got that right.
After we died. But I saw Mitch right before he died, and I got to tell you, man, was it the worst. It was the worst I've ever seen a guy that I love do.
Because
I loved him, man, and I was like, it was terrible. He was mumbling and stumbling, and I think he did 28 minutes. I remember counting.
Damn.
He did 28. He stood up there for a little bit while, a little longer, and people started to kind of leave.
Yeah.
Or they would get up to go to the bar, you know? And fuck, it was so weird.
Well, it just gets sad. You know, sometimes you're like, you suck, fuck you. But with him, it was like, this is kind of bad and we got to go.
Yeah, it wasn't like the Apollo. It wasn't like, boo.
Yeah.
No, it was so like awkward. Like,
this
and then,
is a broken man.
Yeah, and the rumblings, the conversation started to happen. Like, which is the worst when you hear people going, who's going?
Yeah, when they're not mean, there's concern.
Yes, that's truly
fucked.
What it was. But I remember standing in the back watching and thinking, It's literally like watching, you know, when they say, you know, you meet your heroes and they're like an asshole to somebody in public. It felt the same way when you're like, oh no, this is not how people need to see you because I know who you really are.
Yeah.
But he was, you know, I don't know. He was one of the guys that I was like, oh, he'll be embedded into my mind as one of the best of all time.
Man, I wish I could have seen him.
He was phenomenal. Who was the guy that for you loved when you were like a college age?
Probably Chris Rock. That Chris Rock, Bring the Pain.
The black guy?
Bigger and Blacker. Yeah. That I know it back to front. That like moved me.
Yeah.
When I saw it, I was like, I didn't know comedy could be like this.
Yeah.
You know, the N-word versus black people and all that shit. And just the pacing. And he was like a skinny guy. Was that
Bullet Control?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
God,
Layaway,
that was such a good
Bullet
joke.
Control,
such
all that
a good
shit.
Joke.
That's 3-on-3 with a half court. He did all the Columbine stuff. He did the Clinton stuff. And it was great. Chappelle's was great. Killed Him Softly. But Carlin was big for me, just like the CDs. I would just listen to him.
Yeah, I liked Carlin a lot. But I didn't like Carlin for his... Carlin didn't make me laugh like Rock made me laugh. Carlin made me think a lot. I was always God, this is so clever. It was more like... It was like admiring like a nice car to me. It was like, wow, this is fucking incredible. It was never
brilliant.
Ha ha ha.
Yeah. He made great points and he had a good, he was listenable. You're like, oh, that's good. I like that. It was all
he made
like
me feel stupid in a good way.
Yeah. But he was also fucked up. Like he would say slurs and pussy farts and this and
that. Right.
So he had it all.
Right.
That's what I like.
He was probably, so if he's on your Mount Rushmore, is that your Mount Rushmore?
Oh,
say
yeah.
Him?
Oh, yeah. Those two for
Chappelle,
sure.
Rock, him.
Probably Rock, Carlin. I gotta say, maybe Rodney. I love Rodney.
Really?
And then I love Groucho. I'm a weirdo. I'm old school.
No, Rodney's great. What do you mean? Well, Groucho's probably pretty unusual for someone in our age range.
He's just so good. I mean, first of all, he's Woody Allen and Bill Cosby's idol. So that says a lot. Not that those guys are the
both good guys. Both good guys. Mark loves what they do, not what they made.
Yeah.
Yeah, both good cats. Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. He kind of started a lot of it. Like, Bill Murray's kind of doing Groucho. Then Vin Vaughn is kind of doing Groucho. Like, he's that guy. He was the first one to have that snarky, kind of quick wit zinger.
Who are you doing?
I'm doing Groucho.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. Big time. But Seinfeld was big, but the show, when I saw the show, it blew my mind.
Yeah.
Like, I would watch it with my parents, and they hate everything, and they liked that, and I liked it, and that meant a lot.
Are you and Jerry friendly?
Yeah, we text probably, you know, once every 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty good.
Is that something that you step back and go, wow, that's kind of weird?
I've gotten a text from him. That's about the range.
Every time I get a dick pic.
Every time you get
a dick
pic, I get a Jerry text.
Do you and Jerry text like that ever?
Yeah, one dick pic. He's uncircumcised, which I couldn't believe.
L'chaim. Yeah. Wait a minute. Is there ever a moment that he's very playful and joking, or the text a little bit serious?
They're pretty cut and dry. You know, he's old. Yeah. He's business, and I've tried to be playful, and he'll give me like a ha, and I'm like, I'll take it. But then there's times he doesn't respond, and you want to kill yourself.
Right. You want to kill yourself.
Yeah. I mean, your whole night is consumed with like, oh, that last one. Why did I do that? And then I've done some before. I'm like, you shouldn't send this. Oh, and I sent it, and it turned out okay. So that sometimes I took a risk and it worked out, and sometimes it was horrible.
Right. Was he a hero at all?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
See, he wasn't for me. I don't mean a disrespect. He never was. I loved the show, but not, as the comedian, wasn't the thing that I loved. I loved the show so much.
Well, I think he's so important because when we imitate stand-up, we're doing him, which is that's a testament. You know, like, what's the deal? You know, that's him.
Right.
So that's got to say a lot.
Yeah. To some degree.
He's got some stuff, too, that's pretty poignant. Like, I took a speech class in college, and he had a quote in the book that said, this is one of his old jokes. Love this joke. Number one fear in America is public speaking. Number two is death. Death is number two. That means at a funeral, you'd rather be in the coffin than giving the eulogy.
Yeah, I remember that joke. Yeah.
Come on! That's great!
Yeah, that's good.
Oh, come on.
It's good. I know. I know you love him. He was never the guy that clicked for me. I liked more raw, more dirty, more edgy, more fucked up. I mean, I love Geraldo a ton.
Love Geraldo.
I just like people that like really just were a little bit expose, you know?
Like
in the way that Louis was just kind of like, I'll bleed out for you. I'll just give you all of my dirtiness.
Love that. But what about Gaffigan or Regan? I mean, these guys are great.
So I love them too. But
it
never connected with me the same way.
Oh, okay.
Because I grew up in an Irish Catholic, loud, dirty, cussy, gross, inappropriate world.
Yeah.
Everyone was kind of up to no good.
I gotcha.
You know what I mean? Everyone had something bullshit to say. And there was always, people just kind of told the dirty, dirty truth of it all. And I like that a little bit.
I like that too. And that's kind of what we do. But I feel like I can
respect. I appreciate the fuck out of it. But yeah, what really clicked with me, I guess, was always like filth. I always clicked with filth.
That's why I don't love the Rushmore thing, because everybody's got their own thing. You know, we try to put these are the top four, top five, but it's
impossible.
It's different for everybody.
No, it's impossible.
We still have to name a lady.
I mean, Joan Rivers is fucking.
Oh, Rivers.
Rivers
good
is funnier than 90% of the people working today. I mean,
good point.
She's incredible. Another person that was dirty that I like.
Filthy.
I just like that she was like, fuck you. I don't care that you don't like it. It's coming out of a girl's mouth. But she did it with such, her quips were so smart.
I know.
And it wasn't
she
just
was
like,
great.
My pussy. Yeah. In the same way that girls are like, guys aren't talking about their dick. You're like, I know so many female comedians and all they do is like, my fucking pussy, my tit.
Totally.
At least with her. She threw wonderful curveballs. And there's a lot of women comics that do it today. I think Rachel Feinstein's fucking hilarious.
Oh, she's great.
I mean, there's a lot of women comics that do that same thing.
Glazer's got some jokes.
Glazer's
that
on
is
fire.
Killer. She has that joke, one of my favorite jokes. She goes, I hate the N-word that lives next door to me. I mean, that's a great joke. And it
sounds
so
like
quick.
A Mark Norman joke, by the way.
Maybe that's why I like it.
It sounds like
but
you.
It's a brilliant joke.
I spent this whole podcast not doing my impression of you, which I do.
I've heard it.
Show.
1,800 people sent it to me,
I
find it flattering, and I'd like for you to. We got to end it with that.
We have to end it with that. Yeah. You take us out with one word or one phrase like we always do. I always say, I walk away, you say one word or one phrase, but this time you're going to say a phrase, and I'll say it, and I'll repeat the same phrase into the camera as you.
All right. I'm Kevin Hart. Queef it up, baby.
All right. I'm Kevin Hart. Queef it up, baby.
Wow. That's
pretty good. Pretty good.
Man, seeing you do it, I really hate myself.
this is my favorite Marcus. Hey, I'm gay. I'm gay.
That's my out.
I love you. Thank you for coming.
Thank
Watch
you,
Tuesdays
sir.
With Stories. Are you on the road?
I'm on the road every weekend till fucking Hanukkah.
Okay, so go to marknorman.com or wherever his website is.
marknormancomedy.com.
marknormancomedy.com. We'll put it in the description below.
And check out Up to Lunch on YouTube.
Check out Tuesday with Stories and check out
We Might Be Drunk. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Praise Allah.
Praise Allah.
In here, we pour whiskey.
You're that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy ginger.
Like that.